After that text, I don't even know how to follow it up. Mine feels woefully underrated. But we are looking at the book of Mark, verses 38 through 44. Mark continues his teaching in the temple. Jesus continues his teaching in the temple. And it begins thusly. He continued teaching. Watch out for the religion scholars. They like to walk around in academic gowns, preening in the radiance of public flattery, basking in prominent positions, sitting at the head table at every church function. And all the time, they are exploiting the weak and the helpless. The longer their prayers, the worse it gets. But they'll pay for it in the end. Sitting across from the offering box, he was observing how the crowd tossed money in for the collection. Many of the rich were making large contributions. One poor widow came up and put in two small coins, a measly 2 cents. Jesus called his disciples over and said, "The truth is, this poor widow has given more to the collection than all of the others put together. All the others gave what they'll never miss. She gave extravagantly what she couldn't afford. She gave her all." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, you have thusly heard that I am in labor. Delivery date is sometime tomorrow. I have to make several confessions. Number one, all my friends and other folks who have been in likewise position, I've never understood when they would say, "Well, we're not ready. We don't have the bed ready. We don't have this." I'm like, "You've had 9 months. Forgive me. There's never enough time." The second thing is, I have learned that as organized as I am, you're never organized enough for children. And finally, it is good to be back in Cox Chapel to see each of you, to start another journey of our lives together, that this is the chapel in which I committed myself to this church. This is the chapel in which I accepted my call to ministry. This is the chapel in which I end up with my Boaz, and this is the chapel in which I will bring my children. And so God is indeed good. The other thing I must point out before we move into our time of the word is that my husband has not shared with you, and I don't know why he didn't, but probably because of the day, something that has happened in our family that we ask you for prayer for. On Friday, Jeff's father was rushed to the emergency room and will have surgery today at 11 o'clock. We ask for your prayers. Jeff just returned from San Antonio this morning at 6:30. So I have a wonderful husband who is a wonderful son and a wonderful pastor, but I ask you to lift him up, that behind that smile is the worry of a son who's worried about his mother and his father, but trust that God will be with them both. And so for all of us who've had a week, Lucy has had one as well, we ask that you pray for those. Now you may be saying, Maria does not have her glasses. She did not walk up here with any paper. I wonder what she's going to preach about. Beats me. We could talk about Alabama, but we won't. Seriously, this last week has been a really hard week in that I've been preparing my students for the arrival of my children. And so a lot of things have to happen as we move into this time of the year. As my colleague will tell you, this is usually the week that students decide to drop a class. They can drop this class without any penalty. And so the pressure is on every professor to tell them where they stand. And so we typically plan the second exam of the semester to happen on Monday so that we have grades on Friday. I had the unfortunate task of staying in my office most of Wednesday and most of Thursday grading exams. Sadly, the average was 61 without the curve. And as I posted the grades, the emails began. Professor, I really studied hard. Is there any way I can pass this class? It's always amazing to me when I get those, because as I share with Jeff, usually the person who emails me that is someone who got a 23 on the first exam and a 44 on the second. The chances of passing are much like a snowball in very hot places. But what I have found is that despite giving my students a copy of last year's exam, despite explaining to them what I'm going to be focused on, despite actually providing them the questions for the final exam in the syllabus, they never focus on those things. They tend to get creative. They do things that I haven't asked them to do. Perhaps my favorite was one of my business and management students who came to me and I said, "You flunked the assignment." And she said, "I don't understand why. I think it was beautifully written." I said, "It was, but it's not what I asked you to do." "But don't I get points," she argued, "for creativity, for style, for thinking outside the box?" And the answer is no. You didn't pay attention to the things that I required, the things that I identified as the most important. You made up your own rules, you made up your own standards, and it looks fabulous, but it's actually accomplished nothing. When we turn to the 12th chapter of Mark, and particularly this pericope, it's very easy for us to jump right into talking about people who wear academic robes. But for very self-incriminating reasons, I would rather not go there just yet. Most importantly about this chapter is to understand, or this text, is to understand where it falls in the overall narrative of Mark's chapter 12. This chapter begins with Jesus talking to the scribes and explaining that which is rejected becoming that which is established. So what Jesus does in the very first chapters, in the very first section of chapter 12, is to talk about the cornerstone that the builders rejected will be accepted. Okay. The next thing that Jesus begins to encounter is questions about authority. Well, by whose right do you speak? And Jesus, continuing his teaching, says, "David will call his Lord, not his son, but his Lord." Basically establishing and coming more directly to the point of, I am not only David's son, I am David's Lord. I am the head of the temple. I am the one. Jesus then will have a discussion with a scribe, and the scribe will ask, "What is the most important commandment?" And Jesus will say, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself." And then we come to this last pericope, in which Jesus, again, having battled back and forth with the scribes about what is Caesar's is to be rendered with Caesar's, and what is God's is to be given to God. After Jesus has explained what the most important commandments are, Jesus then offers a warning to all who are listening in the temple. And he says, beware of those who wear academic robes, the scribes. Beware of those who like to be seen in the marketplace. Beware of those who are always hailed as the latest and the greatest. Those who sit at the tables, those who are on everybody's top 10 list, those who are the in and the always. They make a big splash, but to no effect. It's very easy for us to focus immediately on the widow's mite and what she gives. But really, when you understand this entire text, it is the syllabus for what you and I should be engaging in as Christians. It is Jesus's definitive lecture on what we are supposed to be focusing on. What's really important, who we should esteem as great, and what it means to really be good. So, as I would my students, Jesus begins to sit down again and say, before we go any further, let's understand the rules of the road. Those things which you humanly disregard, we are called to elevate. That those people and those others and those less than and those on the margins in God's economy are in the center. That when you want to figure out what's more important, attending to the needs of the culture, attending to the needs of an ideology, attending to the needs of a political party, attending to the needs of an organizational standard, understand whose authority under which you ultimately fall. Yes, we give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but we are to give to God what belongs to God. And that is all that we are. And curiously, when you want to make a big show of it, when you think it's what you look like, when you think it's what's in your bank account, when you think it's in your house, when you think it's not enough space, when you think that it's about your car and your mission trip, it's not. What Jesus is saying is that when I look at the economy of giving, when I look at what my children are doing, when I look at you as students, I am not going to care how creative you were. I'm not going to care how many times your name was in the Dallas Morning News. I'm not going to care how many awards you have for teaching or preaching or lawyer or doctor. I'm not going to look at your 401k. I'm not going to look at how many Facebook friends you have. I'm not going to look at what the women at UMW say, and I'm not going to look at what the members of the conference say. I'm not going to look at the size of your check to Highland Park. I'm going to look at what was in your heart. I'm going to look at, did you give from your access or did you give from your very being? I'm going to look at the way in which you carried yourself. Did you carry yourself as one who wanted to be esteemed in the marketplace, or did you carry yourself as one who wanted to be esteemed in heaven? The widow is pointed out not because she's a widow, but because she is the very thing that in that period of time was to be seen as the bottom of the social totem pole. And yet, it was her gift, her walk, her being that was noticed by her Savior. Friends, as we move into a time in which we are going to anticipate the coming of the Messiah, or as I like to say, as we anticipate the ultimate final exam, the question you and I have to ask ourselves is, have we been attentive to the requirements of this course? Have we been attentive to that which Christ has asked us to be attentive to? Have we not only looked good when we come here on Sunday mornings, but what does our heart look like? What do the words that we say with our colleagues sound like? When we're driving on 635 and someone cuts us off, what do our words sound like? We are being called, friends, today to pay attention to the most important things. What is important? Who is important? And under whom we serve? You can color outside the box. You can get creative with the essay. But in the end, you might just flunk the course. Amen.